Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so honored that you would join us this morning. And joining me in the studios, the VFN Radio studios, is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And John Ramos.
Good morning.
We want to encourage you this morning that our God is in control. We want to encourage you to know that despite the threats of the adversary and what he or she may say to you through Ephesians chapter 6, the spiritual stronghold, that our God is able to stand with those who stand with him. Righteousness rules in the end.
Amen.
Give a shout out this morning to Sophia, on fire for God. Totally awesome. Give a shout out to Toys R Us this morning. Give a shout out this morning to Juan. Good morning, Juan. Juan in Texas. Houston, Texas. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me today with you is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And John Ramos. Good morning, John. Good morning, John.
Good morning, good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good.
Are you doing
actually
good?
Thought about you yesterday when I looked out my window and saw this big old giant beaver in the backyard.
Oh, you saw it?
Oh,
it's,
wow.
It's true, isn't it? Is it not true? It's true.
It is true. It is true.
Is it a beaver or is it some sort of like monster from the lagoon or something?
I have no idea what it is. Is it a beaver, badger? I don't know. All I know, it's big, fat, and furry. You know, it's like, oh my goodness.
Oh, you're talking about the beaver, right?
That's right.
Well, did you get a picture of it?
I tried taking a picture of it, but it got very grainy, you know. But I tried.
This is sort of like the Loch Ness monster. You know, nobody's going to believe us unless you get a picture.
I know it. I was quick on the draw, but it got so hazy. But he was just standing there all alone, minding his own business, and I took one turn and he was gone.
Yeah, it sounds like Loch Ness to me. I don't know if this is true or not. We're gonna have to document
this.
Get the picture. Yeah, put a video on this puppy. We got to show it, man. They're not gonna. Things in New Jersey comes out of hole sometimes that you just don't know what happened there. You know what I'm saying?
Goodness.
Wow.
All kinds of animals.
Yeah. But it's true. I want to see this thing. Is it a beaver or is it a monster? I mean, that's a huge hole.
It is a huge hole. It is a huge hole.
My imagination had all kinds of things to come out of the hole. I was sitting there on those steps that were thinking, you know, like, what's this big hole beside me? He starts talking about this huge thing, you know, comes out of there and lays out in the sun. I'm thinking, oh, in Florida, we call that on the beach, you know, get a tan. He's got like monsters coming out of the ground up here in Jersey.
And it's a huge hole.
Is I know, man. I totally know that. Well, good morning. Good morning. I'm excited about being here to be able to encourage you. We all are. And it is amazing. I can see the stirring of hope. I can see the stirring of hope that people are going to begin to wake up and they're going to rise to the occasion that God has called his church to be victorious. You know, he says the whole purpose of the church. If you're wondering what your purpose is, you know, a lot of people said in the 60s, you know, I'm trying to find myself. I'm going to go west and try to find myself. I'm going to go to Woodstock and try to find myself. And it's like, if you looked in the mirror, you'd know where you're at, you know, right?
Yeah, right.
But, what is my purpose? You know, and he says, this is the church's purpose. You know, once you had a purpose when you were in the world, but when you gave your life to God, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, which is like your governor, I mean, he is the Lord, the ruler of your life, that your purpose became this. The Father God, the creator of the universe, wants to make his manifold wisdom known to the heavenly realm, which is the very thing that we wrestle against. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, spiritual wickedness, and evil spirits in the heavenly realm. But he's blessed us, he goes on to say, in Ephesians chapter 1, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. There's only one key ingredient we have to be able to battle in this realm that we're called to be able to battle in.
Right.
It's called faith. It's called faith, confidence, surety, and certainty.
All right.
Who is this uncircumcised Philistine coming against the armies of God? He was one man. David was one man with a slingshot and five rocks. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And they tried to put tradition on him. They tried to put something on him so that he could actually fight like they fought. And he's, you know, I know what he's probably thinking, like, well, it's not working for you. You know, if you're hiding out behind these rocks, you know, and you know, I don't want to wear what you're wearing if what you're wearing causes you to be afraid.
Hello.
You know what I'm saying? If it ain't working for you, don't put it on me. Right. You know what I'm saying? And it's amazing when God begins to do things, he does it with such the least likely. The least likely, the fewest, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, all that wonderful stuff that he tells us as our resume says. And and then you think about David. Can you imagine David? He's going to go to his, he's got his ministry. Now his ministry is like, I kill giants. That's my ministry. I'm a giant killer. wasn't planning on it. I was just carrying some cheese and some bread to my brothers, you know, and I saw them hiding behind the rocks. You know, just because you're hiding behind a rock does not mean you're not my brother. I got a lot of good friends that hide behind rocks that, they call it brick and mortar. Anyway, so then with that, we got to get out here and fight. We're about to lose our country. Mm. We're about to lose our country, you know, and the key to the salvation of the country is for the church's salvation, for us to turn back to God.
That's right.
And get right. And that's what I'm talking about. And so here, David gets his, he's got his ministry together right here. He's going to gather all of his stuff. He's got his five rocks and a slingshot. Mm-hmm. And he goes and tries to find an accountant. You know, can you help me manage my five rocks and my slingshot? And every time somebody sees, you know, his five rocks and a slingshot, they go, you know, I see that you don't have enough to be able to do anything for us. You know, you really don't need anybody to manage this. But no, this is actually the ministry. This is what I'm going to do. We're going to free a nation. We're going to free a nation with these five rocks, actually one of them, and these five rocks and with a slingshot. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, why don't you find you someone else? I'm sure there's someone else, you know, other than me, because we're just in this for the money. You know, we're not in this for really freedom of a nation. We're just trying to get some money. Anyway, can you imagine that today? It's just so crazy. He's like, just do what God told you to do.
That's right.
You know, do what God told you to do. Think about it. Joseph did everything right, but he ended up in jail.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up in jail. First, he ended up in a pit. Pit stands for preachers in training.
Right.
His brothers threw him there. Nothing like a family reunion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those oh no meetings. He goes to me, oh no. And so then he goes into slavery, which is a lesser offense because they were going to kill him.
Right.
It's like somebody says, why are you not complaining about slavery? They were going to kill me. You know what I'm saying? They were going to kill me. And then he goes, of course, he gets thrown in jail and all these false accusations and all this different stuff. But eventually things come full circle and God uses him to be able, just like David, to be able to free his people. So God, if you want to be a deliverer, you know, God's looking for somebody who will stand in the gap.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the prerequisite. You have to be the least likely, the weakest.
Check.
Okay, you have to be somebody that is not.
Okay. Check.
So you can nullify the things that are. You have to be somebody that's weak.
Mm-hmm.
Got that.
Weak, okay. You have to be
not real smart.
What are you saying? What are you saying?
I'm the perfect candidate.
You're saying because I couldn't remember that I was not smart. I mean, you think about it.
Remember we talked about that?
I know.
Well, not wise.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
Wise.
They're not wise to confound the wisdom of the wise. Let's think about this. We got to make this available. We got to make this available to our audience. You got to hear this. You know, it ain't over till God says it's over.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I'm think about it. I mean, we just released this to the VFN family, and I just want to make it available to the VFN TV audience for you guys to hear this. You need to be encouraged because you're hearing a lot of negative reports, and anybody that's held captive by the spirit of the land, you know, they're going to be ruthless and tyrants, and they're going to be, you know, fierce. Where God's people are bold, they're going to be fierce. When they talk, you kind of cringe. Mm-hmm. But when God's people talk, you just kind of, you still stand at attention, but it's not a fierce attention. It's like God getting your attention, and it draws you to the Lord and kind of convicts you of your sin, does convict you of sin. And it's like Elijah and Jezebel.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of that.
Yeah.
And so, understand that God is bringing together people. He's bringing, and so in this talk, we got to make this available. Make this available. You can listen to this. You can go to VFN TV and you can watch this. You got, we're gonna make this available today to you. It's called "It Ain't Over Till God Says It's Over."
That's right.
And realize that, you know, when it looked like it was over in the Garden of Eden, when they ate the forbidden fruit, God made a way to get them out of the garden so they wouldn't eat the tree, eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, so that they wouldn't be in the sinful state forever.
Mm-hmm.
When it looked like it was all over for mankind, when the flood was coming, God saved for himself a people, Noah and his family, because it wasn't over.
Mm-hmm.
When it looked like it was over for David, as Saul was chasing him, trying to kill him every 5 seconds, all of a sudden Saul falls on his own sword. When it looked like it was totally over, you know, for Paul, over and over and over again, you know, shipwrecked and robbed and all the different things that happened to him, you know, that's when God steps in and does his next best work. When Paul was reaching into the fire, he was actually carried as a prisoner. He's an innocent man. He was carried as a prisoner now to go appear before the king, and the shipwrecks, you know, God gives a word of knowledge to him. They all hang on the ship. It wrecks. It falls apart. He gets on the shore. He reaches into the fire to put some wood on it, and a snake jumps out and bites him. You know, and again, everybody said it's over. They said it's over because, you know, this is a deadly snake, and it looks like justice was served.
Right, you about to die.
And 5 seconds later, when he didn't die, they started saying, he's a god. He's a god. Yeah. It's like, you fickle person, you. It's like, you know, don't listen to men. Never look at yourself or define yourself by the reflection, your reflection in men's eyes. Just get rid of it. You are not who they say you are. You're who God says you are. And they don't even know. They'll change their opinion every 5 seconds based on how it will benefit them. But understand this, it looked like it was over. Mm-hmm. It looked like it was over when Moses and God's people were stuck between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. There was nowhere to go.
Right.
It looked like it was over. And people begin to complain, oh, it looks like it's over. It looks like, and all of a sudden, Moses raises his staff and his arms before God, and all of a sudden, the Lord blows so hard upon the Red Sea that it parts the waters, the ocean, and blow dries the ground so hard that it was firm ground, that they marched over on firm ground. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, when the army started following them, the same pathway that God given them, you can't go the same way. If you don't know God, you're not going to survive in the same pathway that God's people survives in, because they started going on the same pathway under this ocean, you know, on this pathway, thinking it was going to work for them like it worked for God's people, and it came down on them.
That's right.
His horse and rider was thrown into the sea. Listen, it's not over till God says it's over. I mean, you think about it. Think about this. That even in the fact that when Satan thought he totally had it mastered, when he took Jesus, the Son of God, and he had him crucified on a cross in public view of everybody, publicly shaming him, beating him, pressing thorns on his head, nailing, piercing his wrists and his feet and piercing his side. And like he, and then he dies on the cross and Satan thinks it's over. But you know what? It's not over till God says it's over.
That's right.
This is when God moves. You have to understand, don't throw your hands up and give up. This is time for you to look up and understand if the church will rise up at a time like this, God will show himself mighty and we'll have a third great awakening in this nation. Don't listen to these people who are held captive by the spirit of this land, who are threatening you, who are tyrants, who are manipulators and controllers, who don't even know this God they profess. Stand up boldly of all the things that the disciples asked for. When the enemy, then the government was coming against them, when the religious people were coming against them, and Book of Acts, you can read about it, you know, they didn't say, hey, give us a good attorney. They said, Lord, give us boldness. Give us boldness. You know, and I never did like that word, wimps. I just didn't like that word. But the truth is, you got to use it. You got to use the word. We can't be spiritual wimps. It is not time. I mean, if we're whining under these perfect conditions, do you imagine what it's going to be like when we're facing the consequences of not standing up and being bold?
Right.
Yeah.
It's not, if you're whining here, can you imagine what it's going to be like where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth?
Right.
And so it looked like it was over. It looked like it was totally over. Satan had won. Jesus was dead. And they put him in a tomb, and they said, seal that puppy, put guards on it. We don't want ever this thing to ever happen again. It's totally, totally over. But God.
But God.
Right.
You got to get this. You got to go to VFN TV. You got to be a free subscriber and just get it. You need this right now. This is a now word for you. For you and everybody that's around you and everybody that's going to be around you. You got to hear this. It looks like it's over, but it is so far from over if you look up. They thought it was over, but all of a sudden there became a rumbling.
That's right.
There became a rumbling, and all of a sudden these guards who thought that they had it mastered, and they're going to do, you know, I'm in this whole political clique. I'm in this whole, you know, whatever religious clique or whatever. I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to guard this thing and not let it come out anymore. I'm not going to let it happen. And all of a sudden, just like an angel shows up. And those guards just like they become like statues, like Lot's wife, you know, like, too much salt. And all of a sudden, they just kind of just go like still. And they're just shocked. You know why they're shocked? Because they found out they were standing for a lie. They found out everything that they were doing in their entire life, they were confronted with the reality that God's angels just showed up to confirm that this one you have behind this rock is not dead. He's not dead. It wasn't over. It wasn't over because this same God that he entrusted himself to, the Father, that he entrusted himself that he could, that he, the judges justly, would take care of him, that even to the point of death, you know, he cried out to God who would save him. And right there at the point when he gave his life, it looked like it was totally over. But guess what? On the third day, oh, don't you know Satan was upset? Oh, he was upset. So upset. No, who let him out? Who put CPR on him? Who brought him back? I thought you were dead. Right. I thought I had you down. I thought you were down for the last count. You know, and at that point, it was over. I mean, it was over because he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave.
That's right.
You know, as E.B. Hill said, who left the door open? He's lost his keys. You think about it. And so it looks like it may be over for you. Realize they're just ranting and raving. I mean, if you're following God, if you're humbling yourself before God, obviously not perfect. There's nobody perfect. But if you're humbling yourself before God, stand strong. No matter what they do to you, fear not the people that can only harm the body. Fear God who can harm the body and the soul and that can go to hell. Really stand for God. We're going to be in some times where we have to stand again. We got to study our forefathers and those that have gone before us that gave their lives for us to have this freedom because we're going to have to stand again. We're going to have to study the Black Robe Brigade. And we understand it was ministers who stood up for this nation when the British were coming and saying, the king was saying, you will not have freedom of religion and you will not, you know, they wanted to do away with slavery and the king was going, no, we're not going to do away with slavery. And the very first thing that happened when they signed the Constitution of the United States, five or six or maybe eight states immediately abolished slavery in America. I mean, things we don't even know about. We got to stand up for what's right. We got to stand up for what's right. And we're fixing the thing. The biggest thing that's going to happen in this day is that, you know, you're going to be accused of not being good. And you're supposed to go, duh.
Yeah.
Right.
Hello. That's right. The very fact that I say I'm a Christian says that I at one point I acknowledge the very thing that you just discovered.
Exactly.
You just discovered. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, hey, of course I'm not good. God's good. I came to the realization that you probably hadn't come to yet if you're actually looking at people's goodness and measuring and stuff like that, is that you don't realize that the goodness is God. That I came to the point that I realized that I cannot do this outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we've all done. You know, and that's the whole, you got to get this because there's a good trap that will take you down and hold you down forever. And we have that available also on VFN TV, and it's called Who Are You Calling Good? You got to get this because you're going to be accused of being good, and then they're going to point out, well, you're not good. And the best thing that can happen to you is be accused of being bad, and see if they point out the good things, and they point out the good things, and that's the God things in you. So I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you this morning that it ain't over till God says it's over. That if he cared about Nineveh, if you'll study Nineveh, then he, and you read that in the book of Jonah, he cared enough to force a minister to go there and preach to people he didn't even want to even repent. And God was doing this. He was involving Jonah in his plans, and they repented. If he cared about Nineveh and said it was a great city, God cares about America. Yeah. He cares about you as an American. He cares about the foundation of this country. And he's willing and always willing for us to stand up and say, listen, we are wrong. We've sinned against you. Everything, Lord, just change our DNA. Restructure us. Give us a great awakening. Help us to delete, control, alt, delete all the stuff that we create, these philosophies and traditions and all the stuff that we, you know, men's religion versus mm-hmm. God's relationship, and help us to begin again.
That's
help
right.
us to begin again. I want to encourage you this morning. You know, you may be facing a work situation where, you know, you're seeing people laid off at your job, you know, and maybe you experienced that yourself, or maybe you're in a relationship where you're following God, but your spouse is not refusing to follow God. You know, maybe you're parents that have children that are in love with the world, and your heart is broken because you're wanting them to follow God, or maybe your children that have, and you love God and you're following God, but your parents aren't, you know, mm-hmm. or maybe you're in a situation where, you know, you're part of the 25 plus million that live in a fatherless home. And it seems like it's over for you because the enemy's convinced you because you hadn't had a father in your life that you're missing something. But I got news for you. You know, God is father to the fatherless, mm-hmm. and that he cares about you, mm-hmm. and you're important to him. And you're going to begin to hear the cry of the Father's heart, and you're going to begin to be healed. If you'll go after God, Father God, he'll go after you, and you'll be totally healed in that area. Listen, I just want to encourage you. It is not over. It is not over until God says it's over. We'll be right back. I'm so excited to have Steve Kalaszewski with us on the VFN radio today. I'm glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You have graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now on VFN mm-hmm. Radio that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work that's even come to pass, and, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing himself to me. And it, no matter what he revealed himself, no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming, because it was like, oh my goodness, I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And it's just so God. Right. God gives you the tools. He gives you just so many revelations, mm-hmm. just so many levels of his word that are just, mm-hmm. He's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
And VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. Oh, yeah. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's mm-hmm. like, I remember, I think I was talking about it with you right after I graduated, and it was like looking back over an old photo album of mm-hmm. all the revelations. It's just like, I remember this one. Yeah. I remember this one. Oh yeah, I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this. And it was just.
Isn't it amazing? So that you can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering, and that's what VFNU is about.
Yeah,
you know, it was revealed from God.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class. I got to take my algebra class.
You
know, it's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed. You know, and so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then you finish that while, right? And then you go to the next thing, you go like, whoa, you know, it's just, he's exactly. So awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you want possibly interested in feeling a call on your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to go to VFNU.org. That's VFNU.org, and you can find out more. God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. We're talking about in the beginning of the first hour, it is not over until God says it's over. Make sure you get that. I don't know if you know this or not, guys, but there's a power failure now in half of India. Half of India.
Wow.
Has a power failure. Think about it. Isn't that amazing?
That's something.
That is totally amazing. That's over 600 million people. 600 million people are without power in India. Think about it. 600 wow. million.
There's like, a billion people in India?
Yeah, there's a billion people in India. And so that'd be 600 million people now have lost power.
Wow.
Which is, what, twice of the size of America.
Right.
Think about right. it. Isn't that something? Mm. That's just totally something. So, man, it's happening, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, it
things
is.
Things that are happening
quickly.
It makes me think. First, I want to make this announcement to the VFN family. The VFN family gathering is this weekend.
Yes.
It starts
yes.
Friday at 6:30 p.m. Central, 5:30 Mountain, 7:30 Eastern Time. We're excited about John Paul Jackson being a part of it. We're excited about, you know, Alan Barton mm-hmm. being a part of it with Wall Builders. And we're going to be focusing on
Kirk Cameron,
you know, mm-hmm. with Monumentals, mm-hmm. being part of a showing. It's just powerful about the yeah. pilgrims and all.
Very good.
And focusing on the original tent. We're so excited about always, you know, God always shows up and just blesses us in a powerful way. I want to encourage you for all your city churches to come together and join together in fellowship during this time. This is the one time, you know, that we just gather together for worship and we gather together to focus and just unite and fellowship and enjoy each other's company and remember the wonders of the Lord as we go back into the harvest field after the gathering. Last year, you know, it was amazing how God, we just heard the Lord. Mm-hmm. And here we are,
wow,
right?
That's powerful.
You know, God's perspective, seeking God's perspective of Israel. And now that's actually available inside the VFN family, I know, for a Vine seminar. We need to begin to seek God's perspective. And it's like we get so much tunnel vision with our little narrow-mindedness of mm-hmm. what we're thinking about in our life. We're thinking, oh, my goodness, what was I thinking? And
right.
it'll give you a right perspective on how to love Israel. No matter mm-hmm. what Israel does, mm-hmm. you will understand that you have a debt of gratitude to our Jewish brothers and mm-hmm. sisters and how that all connects and why you're yeah. able to see. And it's important to be able to, if you missed that last year, it's important to be able to find that out. So I want to encourage you this Friday, 6:30 Central, 5:30 Mountain, and 7:30 Eastern Time. And there'll be some awesome things taking mm-hmm. place inside the VFN family gathering. Well, I want to be able to share when we have time, because mm-hmm. it's going to take a little bit more time to be able to share today about our moment of wisdom. And we're going to be talking about in the extra hour about this church in Mississippi that they have a couple that was attending their church but wasn't, quote, mm-hmm. a member, which we believe that, you know, either you are the church or you're not. You're either a believer or you're not. And you can't, right. if you're not a believer, you can join the roster all you want to in whatever group that's meeting. You're still not a part mm-hmm. of the church. Mm-hmm. But if you're a believer, if you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you are the church. Therefore, we are the church. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's right.
And we're going to be talking about this black couple went to get married at the church that they were not attending regularly, but they were meeting with a pastor and all mm-hmm. to be able to marry them. And the church, this is crazy, but it's being obviously uncovered. This needs to be dealt right. with. This is what Derek was talking about. And mm-hmm. this is what John and I will be talking a little bit about some other things. But they would not marry them in this building.
Right.
All right.
Give me a moment. Because they were black. Because they were black. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
That is so crazy. My heart dropped when I heard that. I thought, oh, they're crushed. Mm. You just crushed them.
Terrible.
You just crushed their hearts. You know, and so we're going to be talking about this. We're mm-hmm. going to talk about this. And I believe that it's happening for a day of this to be able to show us that it ain't working. The present day expression, if you can call the police on your brother that's in the parking lot praying because you think he's looking in your cars like Derek said, or, you know, you can not marry somebody because your brother and your sister in the Lord, you know, because they... the color of their skin, and you actually talk to people like it's normal. You know? I mean, the not only is it horrific, and we're going to talk about this in the extra hour, but you got to catch the extra hour today. Not only is it horrific what's been done, mm-hmm. it's the fact that you talk to people as if it's normal. You talk to right. you try to explain it as if it's a normal conversation instead of saying, "We've sinned,
right.
we've done wrong, we actually sold out to man, the fear of man over the fear of God." We rejected one of his little ones, you know, if they're believers, right. you know, rejected them for man, the fear of man, you know, that mm-hmm. the word is we're going to talk about that they said that he would lose his job mm-hmm. if he did that, you know, and it's like, oh my goodness. So you got to join us in the extra hour. Mm. You know, obviously we have something to say about that because you got to put yourself in their shoes. You know, you got to put yourself in their shoes and understand whatever you did to the least of these of mine, you did it to me. Mm. And if they are believers, you know, you did that to Jesus. That was Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they were wanting to get married and do what's right in their relationship. And I don't know anything about their history. We'll actually have a segment where we're hearing them talk about what happened. But it's just horrific. But, you know, even though it's horrific, it happened. You know, we got to quit saying, well, it's horrific. Let me just cover my face. No, we got to understand if we don't deal with those issues, if we don't deal with that, we're dividing ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we're dividing ourselves. And so we'll be talking about that in the extra hour. But I want to talk about, and we're also going to be talking in the extra hour about how the Homeland Security is ordering riot gear, ordering lots of riot gear for preparation for the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention, which is and some of the things that God has showed us and the perspective of what's about to happen in America. And they're ordering all this riot gear because there's going to be riots. There's mm-hmm. going to be things in the street. If in fact the adversary gets his way, you know, if strife gets his way,
right.
If I don't get my way, then I'm going to get my way. Then, you know, it's going to be bad. It's going to be mm-hmm. bad. And, it's just another hole being punched in our ship.
Wow.
And there's so many holes now that, God is allowing to be punched in our ship. It just happens to be this administration that's actually seemed to be orchestrated by our God to turn this nation over, that don't worry about saving the ship at this point. Just start swimming.
Right.
Start swimming right. for God. You know, God can resurrect the boat. Forget about that. If you don't, if you keep on hanging on to something's going down, mm-hmm. you better hang on to the cross. You better hang
that's
on.
That's right.
And stuff like that happened in Mississippi. You're hanging on to hell. That right, is not right. God. Mm-hmm. That's just not God. And so we'll talk about that, you know, in an extra hour right there. But, you know, today's wisdom, it is the 31st. Can you believe that? It's the 31st of the month.
Yeah.
31st, you know. And we're speaking from Proverbs 31 today. We always lock that in with whatever is corresponding chapter. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs with the day of the month. And so here it is. You can do this too. I encourage you to listen to that entire chapter through an audio version or something every day. If it's the first of the month, listen to the whole chapter one and just let it wash over you. Don't pull out your pencil and try to study. Just let it wash over you, because believe me, it'll help you make some decisions. What we're looking at right now in America is a whole bunch of knowledge with no wisdom. And that includes the church that's not seeking wisdom right now.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, good intentions just look stupid because it had no wisdom with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't be quick to go, well, you're just stupid.
Right.
You can say, you're just wisdomless. Less.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you say, hey, you need to go to Proverbs. You need to start reading God's wisdom. And so Jesus is wisdom. So today is Proverbs 31:8, because here we are facing right now a very important time. This addresses it, that, you know, they're talking about health care and they're talking about the poor and the needy, and people are running after capitalism. Like, you know, it's capitalism. You know, that's the shit. We're going to hang on to capitalism. It's like, now's not the time to bring that up. Now's not the time. Not now. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe God will let us have that when we get through this. Right. But let's realign ourselves to the cross. The C is for cross, not capitalism. And maybe he'll let us have it. So the proverb today is Proverbs 31:8-9. It reads, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Let me say it one more time. It's Proverbs 31. This is the wisdom moment. Proverbs 31:8-9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Say, speak up. Speak up.
Speak up.
Think about
speak
it.
Up.
Say something. Church, wake up. Everybody's waiting for somebody else to speak up. And it's like, hello, you got a tongue. You got a mouth. You got a lip. You know, you can go after God. Open your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. We're supposed to defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Right now, capitalism is being chosen over God's commandments and some verbiage in the church. It's like, we got to hold on to this capitalism. We got to always like, hold on. Though we live in a country that operates an economy called capitalism, and it's our government, and enables those who desire to achieve their dreams, we need not forget Jesus's ministry, that when during his time of ministry on earth, he was under a monarchy. He was under a monarchy, and it was no big deal to him. he wasn't a capitalist at the time. He was under a king's rule. Everything was run by kings. And God, you know, God's people chose to say, hey, we want a king like they got a king, and they gave him a king, right?
That's right.
Right.
Capitalism is a good idea, but it's not necessarily always God if we abuse it.
Right.
Right.
And you know, the thing that's laid before us, what I'm about to, the argument, the viewpoint that I'm about to lay before us to get us to think about that proverb today is, have we abused the blessing that God's given us? See, Jesus knew that his Father God holds the king's heart in his hand, that he directs it like a water course. When, you know, Pilate stood before him and said, don't you know I have the authority to do this or to do that, to let you go? And he goes, you ain't got nothing except what my Father gave you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't care if you're a president, whether you're a prime minister, you know, whether you are a king or a queen, like in Great Britain, that, you know, God can change things. It may be easier with a king, because you can get a king like Josiah, who will just go through the land and rid the land of all the idols and stuff.
Right.
But he never put down their form of government. Why? Because it was the form of government that God has set up when Israel asked for it. So it can't just be focused on, you know, a form of economy. We got to be focused on what God says. You know, what does he say about things? And so he says this. He says that, well, think about this first. We have to remember, no matter, and our brothers in the churches all over the world, and all kinds of forms of government, you know, whatever form of government that we're under, whether it's a capitalist government, socialism, Marxism, communism, we as believers operate in a different order. Mm. It doesn't matter what government's going on, because we know that if God wanted this king to go a certain way, then like Nehemiah said, because God's hand was on me, the king granted me all my requests.
Mm-hmm.
We don't trust in men's government. We trust in God of the governments. And so with that, you know, we want to make sure that we're not hanging on to capitalism, you know, when it comes down right now. And so when you think about it, which is this, we need to begin to speak up then. You know, God's economy says, you know, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the widow, the fatherless, mm-hmm. the homeless, the poor, the slave. I mean, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You think
mm-hmm.
about this, that this is how God, speak up for the one who can't speak for themselves. Who can't speak for themselves? The unborn child of the mother's womb.
That's right.
The right of the destitute. Those who are set out, things aren't working well for them.
Right.
We don't look at them as believers and go, hey, you just need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, that's what maybe a worldly viewpoint of capitalism would say. But us as believers, we say, listen, we want to empower you with a vision and a dream and work with you to be able to achieve something. But we just don't say, you know, whatever, whatever.
Right. We need to have compassion.
Yeah.
Help people out and bring people in and say, hey, listen, and talk about what you just shared earlier, that, you know, it ain't over till God says it's over. Oftentimes people are struggling and they're going through issues, and it's amazing how just pride can come over a people where we think that maybe, you know, someone deserves that. No one deserves it.
It's a blessing. It's totally a blessing.
I mean, this is a blessed country.
And so you think about it. So then he also, when a matter of justice comes before us, you know, when a matter of justice comes before us, then we, in our community, us as a people or us as believers, we need to speak up mm-hmm. when we see an injustice. We need to judge fairly, and we need to defend the rights of the poor and the needy. We just don't ignore the rights of the poor and needy. And this is the thing. This is what happens in America. This is the viewpoint. People go, that's right. You need to stand up for me because I'm poor. You know, because I'm destitute. He's like, really? Really?
Right.
Okay, let's just study America for a moment. Let's compare America to the world
exactly.
and how God has blessed this country. You think about it. I'm reading from an article here from John Dunn in a moment. We're going to be able to hear it. But listen, we are living in the top 3% of the world.
Mm.
We are using most of the resources in the world. We're taking 40% of our food and sticking it in gas tanks because we made a law that says we have to have ethanol. While people are starving, we're riding around in our cars
wow.
with their food. We're burning their food that would give them nourishment, the corn, in their bellies.
Mm.
I mean, if we give them nourishment in their bellies, we're burning them in the bellies of our cars.
Mm.
Yeah, because we made some law that ethanol has to be mixed in with the gas. While at the same time, mm-hmm. according to George Barna, 96 to 97% of the church, the regular church attenders who go in their gatherings every 2 weeks, are robbing from God in tithes and offerings. They're not even giving God what's his, the mm-hmm. tithe. You think about it. And at the same time, we'll come against health care for all Americans, which I understand, and I know that presently, you know, with our present economy and the state of the people, it's not good for government to provide me the source of health care. I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. But we have to give careful thought to all of this. You know, for you alone, not your political party, not your group of friends who agree with you all the time because that's why you hang out with them. Not even your family will be with you when you stand before the throne of God and have to answer for what? How did you speak up for those who could not speak for themselves?
Yeah.
You can't point at nobody. And then he's going to ask you too. He's going to, how did you speak up for all who were destitute? And somebody goes, well, I don't even know what destitute even means.
Yeah. Get a dictionary out.
Yeah. Well, not only that, you know, that you need to find out. You need to totally understand that. And how this is what you're going to stand alone before God and say, how did you speak up and judge fairly? How did you defend the rights of the poor and the needy?
Mm.
And understand, if 97%, according to George Barna, are robbing from God, they're robbing from the poor as well.
Right.
You know, that's right.
You know, the prosecuting attorney, our methodology in our country was biblically correct when he says you can't afford an attorney. We'll have one appointed for you to represent you if you wish. What we're saying is we mm-hmm. want you to have be judged fairly. And we're convicting people before they even get a chance to defend themselves. It's right before God when we actually give somebody an attorney that can represent them, that argues their side and defend them. You know, that's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. It's not somebody says, I can't stand those attorneys. It's like, you'll like them when you get falsely accused. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
You got a number to win them guys.
And somebody, so we got to think about, taking care of the needy, taking care of the poor. I mean, think about Paul when he's writing the Church of Corinth, 2 Corinthians 8:13 through 15. He said, our desire, when he was asking them to be faithful in this area of being able to give, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard pressed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You are hard pressed, but that there might be equality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading this in the Bible. And so you can't say, that's not true. That's not true. It's like, we got to, people's approach to this might be wrong, but we can't say that's not true.
Right.
We can't say it's not true. At this present time, he goes on to say, your plenty will supply what they need so that in their turn of plenty will supply you in your time of need. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's like right now, bro, I'm a little low, but tomorrow when I'm a little high and you're a little low, I'll help you out.
Mm-hmm.
That's how God works, especially the church works. Then there will be equality, he says, as it is written, he who gathers much did not have too much, and he that gathered little did not have too little. Why? Because they met each other's need. I mean, think about it in Matthew 25. This is how we're going to be judged.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got to pay attention. God's shouting at us at our viewpoint right now, despite the vessels he's using.
Right.
We have to go into his word and find out, even though somebody's heart might be wrong and the God they may be serving is wrong, whoever that is, if they're saying what's right, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. In Matthew 25, Jesus says that we will be judged in the last days by this. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Right.
He says, in the last days, I will gather you as a king gathers his sheep and his goats, and I will divide the goats from the sheep. And he'll say to the goats, he'll say, when I was hungry, when I was thirsty, when I was poor, you didn't even respond to me. You didn't help me. You didn't even think about me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to say, when do we do this? When do we not do that?
Not feed you.
If I would have known you was here, cuz I would have cut you something. I would have done something for you. Why? Because I do something for you. But Jesus, when the poor person can't do anything for you and you don't do anything for them, then the only reason you're doing stuff for people is what you get back. But when you give to people who are in need, they can do nothing for you. That's a giving. When you give to somebody who can't give back, that's when you're giving to God.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they said, we would have done this. And so... and he goes, no, whatever you didn't do for the least of these, you didn't do for me. Away from me, you evildoers, and go to where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. Think about that. That's hell. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got to pay attention to what's going on right here, this wisdom moment for today. And then he says to the sheep, he goes, hey, when I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was in prison, I was sick, and I was homeless. You fed me, you gave me water, you visited me in jail. When I was sick, you came in and sat with me. And they go, and they said the same thing. When did we do this? It's like, this is just who you are. Anytime you saw a need, you took care of it. In the midst of that, some of those people were me. some of those people were me. And he says, well done, enter in thy good and faithful servant. He brings you into the reward of the Lord. And so understanding that, then we got to pay attention to this proverb.
Right.
Right.
We can't just shut everything down because people are, God's not a Democrat and God's not a Republican.
Right.
He doesn't ride on the back of an elephant or a donkey.
Nope.
God's on his side.
That's
and this
right.
is this is what we've got to forget about all the stuff that men have turned this country into right now. We got to focus and focus on God as Christians and find out what we're supposed to do. And John Durer writes in his article here about the United States speaking about wealthy, because quite often people go, that's right. You need to take care of me because I don't have I'm a little low on my tuna. Yeah, I'm a little low. I'm a little low on my caviar,
Right.
And so with that, it's not true. It's not true poverty. It's not true poverty, but because we're a blessed nation. So let's talk about America for a moment compared to the world, because we're only believe it or not, America, we're just a small smidgen of the world. We're just a small piece of the world. and we're only 300,000, twice the population, 300 million, twice the population of America just lost power in India. That's how small we are.
Wow.
And only half of them. That's only half of them. Let's find out what he writes in his article. He says, the United States is undeniably the richest and most powerful nation over the face of the earth. The gross domestic product of the United States is larger than the next two biggest economies combined, which is China and Japan.
Mm.
And look how big our economies are. The U.S. economy outproduces the combined economies of 47 poor nations.
Wow.
47 nations, we outproduce them, which accounts for 53% of the population of the world. These 47 nations include China and India. But on an individual scale, just how does the income, he writes, of the average American compare to the average income of the poor in the world? In 2000, the per capita income of the United States was 360% higher than the world's average per capita. Hold on, you got to get this. You got to get this, John. Our average income, you know, the ones going, you know, I don't think I have enough caviar this week. You know, I'm concerned about my massive cable package is going to be cut back this week. I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to get through this, you know.
Right.
And my 401k, you know, is just kind of, I just don't know. It's like, dude, listen, the average income of America is 360% higher than the world's average per capita income.
Mm.
I mean, what do you say when somebody gets a 360% raise next to you?
Wow.
Right.
And then the nerve to even say in the midst of your penthouse that you have it bad. I mean, we're going to fix it in trouble. If we don't wake up, church, we're going to have to wake up to this. The U.S. boasted a per capita income of $34,100, while the average world's per capita income was $7,410.
Wow.
Think
can't
about
even
that.
Buy wow. a brand new car in this country. Brand new car.
And it's measured. And it's measured on the international dollar. And understand this too, that it's not that the fact that we're bad because we're blessed. The fact is we could be bad because we did not acknowledge who blessed us by honoring him with our life. And 97% of the regular church attenders who proclaim to know this God, you know, are robbing from him, and he's given them 360% more. 360% more. It's like, we got to pay attention to this.
Right.
We're going to have to get, you know, poor focused. We're going to have to get needy focused. There's injustices taking place, you know? And then it goes on. He goes on to write in his article, this does not, we'll make this available on the VFN Torch. You can get it at VFNTV.com. This does not give an accurate picture because the world's average per capita income includes the U.S. and other wealthy nations, such as Europe, he goes on to say. Therefore, let's look at the 56% of the world's population who comprise the world's poor. 56% of the world's population comprise the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. 56%. And so with that, he goes on to say, according to statistics from the World Bank, 56% of the world's population live in extreme poverty. 56%. Think about that. 56% of the world's population live in extreme poverty. They survive on an income of less than $730 per year. $730 per year.
Right.
Think about this. Think about it. I mean, how many people, I mean, you know, that's what they survive on.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they survive on. They survive on $730 per year. Or that's $2 per day. I mean, half of a price of a cappuccino in Starbucks is their whole day's pay. Their whole day's pay. Think about it. We got to pay attention. Listen to me. Listen to me, guys. Listen to me. Listen to this. So important, because right now this country's about to go down because of the injustices, and we're not speaking up for the poor.
Mm-hmm.
$2 a day. 56% of the population of the world comprise the world's poor, extreme poverty, and they're living on $730 per year, $2 per day. Half of the world's poor, who comprise 28% of the world's population, live on $1 or less a day.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Half of the world's poor, who comprise 28% of the world's population, so 28% of the world's population, of the 6 billion people on the face of the earth, 28% of the world's population live on a dollar, less than a dollar a day. That's right. Huge. That's totally huge. In comparison, the average American earns 46 to 92 times more than the poverty-stricken comprising over half the world's population, he says. I mean, think about it. If they're earning a dollar a day. Mm-hmm. They're earning a dollar a day, and they're earning a dollar a day, and we're earning like $46 to $92 a day. We're not the world's poor.
Right.
We're not the world's poor. You know, we're the wealthy.
That's right.
We're the wealthy, and we have to respond. What are we doing with that which God blessed us with? Are we saying, hey, we don't want to take care of the sick when we're living in this kind of wealth? And he goes on and says, if you are like me, you might say, but things are so much cheaper in the poverty-stricken nations. Yes, he goes on to say this. He says that, but it actually costs more time and energy and all this stuff to be able to farm it. I want to be able to say this. I'll move quickly along because we're coming to the end here of this first hour. Is in James chapter 5, verse 1 through 6, he talks about this. He talks about this. He says, Now listen, you rich people.
Mm-hmm.
So who's he talking to then? It'd be America, right?
That's right.
If we're getting paid 365% more,
mm-hmm.
he's talking to America, right?
That's right.
So he says, listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and your silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire.
Mm.
You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay your workmen who mow your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters are reaching the ears of the Lord God Almighty. You have lived on earth in the lap of luxury and self-indulgence.
Wow.
You have fattened yourself for the day of slaughter. When so many things are going on right now,
mm-hmm.
I really believe, because you can look at the statistics, we are the most blessed nation right now on the face of the earth
mm-hmm.
in regards to finances and all the things it's given us, God's right. given us. And here we are. What are we doing with that?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing with this?
Right.
And we're saying we're not going to take care of a sick person
mm-hmm.
while we're robbing from God. You know, while we're getting paid 42 to 92, whatever dollars per their $1 a day. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
I mean, we got to change. Oh, my goodness. Hmm. And so I just want to share with you about this moment of wisdom today, that we got to begin to speak up for those who are destitute, for those who can't speak up for themselves. We got to be able to speak up and judge fairly over a situation. We got to hear the matter out. It's amazing mm-hmm. how seemingly smart one side of the argument appears until you hear the other side of the argument.
That's right.
You know, and you walk in a man's shoes. And we need to defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Today's proverb and this wisdom moment is Proverbs 31, 8 through 9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy.
All right.
We need to pay attention.
We do.
This is where we are today. And wisdom says this, check yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It says, check yourself, America.
Right.
Church, check yourself. You know, don't grasp onto the sea for capitalism while you're letting go of the cross,
mm-hmm.
the sea for the cross in Christ.
Right.
Listen, it's America's a byproduct. It's a byproduct of a people who wanted to worship God freely. The United States of America and the U.S. Constitution. We got to turn our hearts back to God. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. Be encouraged. We're going to be talking about in the extra hour about this Mississippi situation where they wouldn't even marry a couple because they were black. Can we believe that? Injustice. We're going to speak up for the injustice like God just told us to in the first hour. And we'll be talking also about how the government, Homeland Security, is preparing for riots in the land and more to come. We'll see you next hour. God bless. More at VFNTV.com. And for those that are heading out, God bless. Have a beautiful day. And those that are joining us, we'll talk to you in a few. VFN Radio.